Perfect. So we're recording on two machines. Hallelujah. Welcome. We are going to continue with a teaching we did several weeks ago. And with all the travel and everything else, we didn't finish part two. Seems like on the 22nd of June, we did Practical Living Part One, Rejoicing in Understanding. Where people rejoice because they understood God's Word. So I'll give a brief review of that. If you want to hear the recording, I'm sure Brian's got it on the website. In Genesis, where God said, "Let there be light," first time the Word of God is recorded, God spoke and it happened. There was light. In Numbers, we read about how God keeps His Word when He promises. In Deuteronomy, the law said that the king is supposed to copy out the law of the Lord, and then read therein all the days of his life. Later on in Deuteronomy, it says God's word is not a vain thing. It's not an empty waste of time because it is your life. And Joshua, after they'd gone in and claimed the promised land, he read all the words of the law. Samuel talks about somebody that walks with God according to his word is like a clear shining after rain. And then Josiah, the young man that became king, when they found a copy of the word of the Lord, after he'd been king for a while, he read the law of the Lord, and he did it. And in Nehemiah, after they had returned from Babylon, rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem, they had a big party, and spent about a week reading the word. And, of course, the people after Babylon no longer spoke Hebrew because they'd been in Babylon for 70 years. So most of the crowd only spoke Aramaic, but their scriptures were in Hebrew. So the priests and leaders there not only read the word for them, but translated it into Aramaic and explained it. And the people rejoiced because they understood the word of the Lord. Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Psalm 1 talks about the importance of delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating in it. Psalm 12 says the words of the Lord are pure words. And Psalm 19 says, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength." So, quite a wonderful thing, a series of scriptures where people rejoiced when they understood the word of the Lord. Now we'll continue with part 2. Going with Psalm 107, if you turn to Psalm 107 and verse 20. God's Word talks a lot about the importance of His Word. So I'm glad we can have some time today to read about it. Psalm 107 and verse 20. We read here, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." This is an amazing verse. I've always marveled at that verse. Because when God's word was sent, it brought healing and deliverance. Same is true today. You hear God's word, you believe it, you act on it, you're going to receive healing and deliverance. That's what God wants. He simply wants healing and deliverance. And the way, well, a lot of ways he does it, but a major way, if not the major way he does it, is by sending his word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What a great statement. God's word is the thing that will illuminate the way you're walking, that will light up your path. If you want to keep your, well, you don't have to keep your finger here. You could, but go to Isaiah 50. An interesting little Orientalism or Eastern custom in this verse. Here in Isaiah 50, and verse 11, Isaiah 50, verse 11, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, Now, this is interesting. Kindling a fire, compassing yourself about with sparks. They didn't have, like we have in our houses, furnaces with little, either a pilot light or a little electronic starter to start the furnace when it gets cold. They didn't have matches. They didn't have butane lighters. They didn't have any of those things, propane lighters. So what they would do is they would keep a fire going all night in the center of town. And then in the morning, people would come to get coals. And one thing they would do is they'd have somebody take coals around to the houses. But the workers going out to the fields, the way they would find their way down the dark paths before the sun came up is they would take a piece of rope that they'd sort of frayed a little bit at the ends. Picture taking a piece of hemp rope and, you know, fraying it so it's this bunch of loose threads. And they put it in the fire, and it glowed at the ends, and then they would shake it. And a little bit of sparks would come out at the end. And there was just enough sparks to just barely see your way down the path and just barely see if there was a scorpion or a snake there as you're heading out to your field. But no, you couldn't see really well. It wasn't like a very bright light, but it was more than nothing. So it's like really, really little bit of light compared to a bright lantern or the sun being up. So when it says here in Isaiah 50, verse 10, wait a minute, sorry, Isaiah 50, verse 11, thank you. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. So first of all, it's talking about very little bit of light, and it's comparing it to walking in the light of God's word. As a human, you can reason things out and come up with a little bit of logic and philosophy and ideas. That can help a little bit, but it never gets you to the true help from God. See, we read in Psalms, God is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. It talks somewhere in Proverbs that, you know, the righteous, you know, is the path of the righteous becomes like broad daylight as we walk with God. It's very bright, very clear. Whereas when you figure stuff out yourself, it's sort of vague and fuzzy, and you never really are going to get to where you need. So what a great verse. Again, verse 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks. Go ahead, walk in the light of your fire, the sparks that you've kindled. This ye have of my hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. So you sort of have two choices in life. You can go along with the fuzzy little tiny bits of sparks of light you get with your own thinking. Or you can go with the bright light of God's word. And of course, we want the bright light of God's word. And we've all had times in life where we've done one or the other. And we know we're always better off with the bright light of God's word. Psalm 119, 162, a verse we've heard many times. And Dr. Werwell's favorites when he was teaching. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, great riches. The psalmist just rejoiced at God's word as though he had won the lottery or found a, you know, pile of gold somewhere. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great riches. And that's what God's word is. It's great riches for our lives. Now, I know you can't go down to the local bank and hand them your Bible and extract $1,000. But by having the great riches of God's word, God blesses us. And you'll have that $1,000 because God will bless you. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Proverbs 2, speaking about treasures. Proverbs 2, and here we go, Proverbs 2, and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide or treasure my commandments with thee. We all have stuff we don't care about that much, you know. I have people that are always, you know, I know people that are always forgetting their sunglasses or their pen or people tend to forget stuff they don't care that much about. But boy, give them something they really care about. You know, like they're heading out on some big event and they got tickets. They're very careful. Or they're traveling abroad and they have a passport. There are things people are very, very, very careful. Or people are usually like that with their money. You know, they want to be careful with it. They want to, you know, put it inside a button pocket with a zipper or a button or hide it in their shoe or do something. Or if they're really, I won't say paranoid or nervous, but sometimes applies. If they're very cautious, they'll get one of these things when you travel where you put in a little pouch you put under your clothes and it's very hard for a pickpocket to get to. So if there's something you treasure, you go out of your way to make sure it's protected. Well, that's what we do with God's Word. We just treasure it. We protect it. We put it deep in our hearts and we work very hard to not let anything tear it apart or take precedence. So, Proverbs 2:1 again. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide or treasure my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Ever been somewhere in a loud place? I was at some meeting this week where somebody was trying to talk to me and there was enough background noise. I kept leaning over saying, what was that you said? Because I really wanted to hear. And the person was not only talking, the person wasn't talking very loud. The person's voice didn't carry very well and there's a lot of background noise. But I wanted to hear. So I kept leaning over saying, what was that? And I always got it, but it took some work. But I inclined my ear. Well, we need to do that with God's Word. Do what it takes to get it. If you got to listen hard, if you got to lean over, if you got to study it a little harder, do it. Do it. Because if you just sit back and say, oh, it's too noisy here, I can't hear it, then you missed out. You missed out. So, verse 2, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, I want more. And liftest up thy voice for understanding. I want to understand. And you can go bug somebody like me if you want to learn more. And I'll do what I can. But there are times where I can't help you. But God knows your heart. He'll help you. You know, cry out to him. Say, Lord, I want to know, what's it saying, James? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I wonder if that's in my notes. No, it's not. Good. I can talk about that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally unto all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Just go ask God. I mean, it's good to ask people. It's good to read books. It's good to listen to tapes. Whatever. But in the end, if you can't find what you need, ask God. He'll find a way to help you. He'll either show you directly. I mean, I've had things I wanted to know, and very shortly after, you know, and I prayed, and very shortly after that, somebody taught on it in a way that really made sense. I had a friend in Michigan years ago who lived way up in the middle of nowhere and had no fellowship available, but he really wanted to speak in tongues. He even went to some church where a lot of other people spoke in tongues, but he couldn't do it. But then every morning when he read the Bible, certain verses just stood out in boldface print to him. And they were verses about speaking in tongues. And they encouraged him and got him to the place where he believed and spoke in tongues. A couple years later, he took the PFAL class and found those were the same verses Dr. Worley used to teach people about speaking in tongues. But you see, he didn't have a PFAL class. He didn't have a fellowship where somebody could teach him. But he was hungry and God showed him. So I'm all for working with people. I'm all for us helping each other as members of the body to understand. But whether there's people around to help you or not, God will come through for you. He's not limited by that. It's too easy to sit there and think, boy, if I had more believers around here, I'd be okay. Well, it's great when there's a lot of believers around. If you're all by yourself in Antarctica, Holy Spirit works just as well there. It really does. So, Proverbs 2, yea, verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, go look for God's word as though you were on a treasure hunt, searchest for her as for hid treasures, then at that point shalt thou understand the fear, the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. In other words, you got to work for it a little bit. You got to try. You have to seek for it. You have to read the Bible. You got to pray. You got to ask God to help you understand. Again, if there are other resources available, like this fellowship or our website or somebody else you can talk to, utilize all those things. But when it comes right down to it, you look to God and you just expect God to help you. Then thou shalt understand the reverence of the Lord. You'll know how to trust and respect God, and you'll find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Great stuff. So, Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. When you get the wisdom of God, you get an understanding of God, then you're happy. For the merchandise of it, you know, the things you can buy and sell with wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver. Now with silver, you can buy and sell a lot of stuff. But the stuff you can get with wisdom of God is greater. And the gain thereof than fine gold. Again, with fine gold, you can do a lot of stuff. You can buy things, you can invest, you can do a lot of stuff with fine gold. But what you can get from having the wisdom of God is greater. That's why we rejoice in understanding it. Verse 15, she, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now that's quite a statement. Because we can all think of a lot of things we desire, a lot of things we'd like to have, a lot of things we'd like to accomplish, a lot of places we'd like to be, a lot of people we'd like to be around. You can think of all these things you'd like to have, but what you can get with the wisdom of God is not even to be, that other stuff's not even to be compared to it. It's so great. You know, it'd be like somebody that was really into good cooking and knew this really fancy restaurant that had the best food of some kind anywhere and would say, I don't care what they have at your burger joint. You can't even compare it to this food because in their mind, that restaurant was so great, even the best burger at the burger joint was not to be compared to it. Now, of course, you could argue whether you like burgers better than something else. I'm not arguing the point. But there would be people that would say that. Well, that's somebody comparing what kind of food they like. This is talking about God's Word. The things you can get from God's Word, you can't even compare anything else to it. And it's important to remember that because we have so many responsibilities, so many things going on in our lives, it's easy to let stuff push God's Word out of the way because we think something else is more important. And we have a lot of important things in life. We all do. But God's Word is just so important that you really can't compare anything else to it. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. And that's true. When we just put God's word on and believe it, you're going to have length in days and riches and honor. Her ways, verse 17, the ways of the wisdom of God are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You'll just be have a pleasant life and a peaceful life, knowing that God will take care of you. Verse 18, she, the wisdom of God, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So that's why we rejoice in understanding God's word, because everybody that holds on to God's word is happy. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. That's another thing to remember, is if you're thinking God's word isn't effective enough, well, it was by his word that the universe was formed. You know, and I know I've talked about this before, but we spend billions and billions of dollars every year just trying to explore our solar system. We're doing a pretty good job. We're coming back with new pictures and stuff all the time. It's pretty cool. Got a few moon rocks. I mean, it's cool. I'm not in any way degrading what we do. We do good work. And we've got some big fancy telescopes, some on the Earth, some in orbit, that can see farther. But we can't even map or see the whole universe. With all of our billions of dollars and our very bright, dedicated scientists, We can't even see it all. We have no idea how big it is. Yet with God's word, he created it. He just said, let there be a universe. And I don't know exactly what he did, but it was by his word. And there it is. So if you ever think God's word isn't powerful, just look up at the sky or look outside and, oh, the sun came up today. No, it's light out there. It's a little cloudy here today, but I can see the house across the street. So there is a sun shining somewhere. And that was put there by the word of the Lord. So that's how powerful the word of the Lord is. Imagine humans with us trying to get electric lights and flashlights, trying to get that much light, just as much light as you see the house across the street. Do you have any idea how much light that is?
Yeah.
And that does, the whole world is lit up like that. I don't think there's enough LED lights, light bulbs, electrical power in the world to do that, even for one little town, let alone the whole globe. So the word of the Lord is pretty darn powerful. So, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them, wisdom and understanding, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion is just being smart enough to know when to speak up, when to shut up, when to do something, when to not do something. It's just an aspect of wisdom. So, verse 22, shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. See, if you're lying down afraid, which happens to all of us at times, we've just got to pray and meditate on God's word till we're convinced that God will provide. He'll take care of us. So there's nothing to fear. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Get a little bit of bad news, you want to panic. And there will sometimes be a little bit of panic. But then just don't stop there. Get your brain turned back to God, trusting in God, and get back to being peaceful. So be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. You may see somebody totally wiped out, but it doesn't matter. God will protect you. Why? Verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And that's a great thing. People talk about self-confidence, self-reliance. Those are all nice concepts, and they have their place in life. But ultimately, our confidence is in God. And if you want to be self-confident, which I'm highly in favor of, your self-confidence should be based on knowing that God will back you up. You know, it's like if you're a player on a team, you're not a very good player, and it's not a very good team if you think it's all your ability. It should be confidence that the whole team will work together and they'll be there to back you up. You'll do your part on the team and everybody else will. And we have that with the body of Christ where we help each other. But even greater than you and I helping each other is God helping all of us. Because God can help you when you have a bunch of believers backing you up and helping you. And God can help you when you got nobody. He's not limited. He'd love to work with us as a body when he can, because that way we can get more done and help more people. But if that's not available, he'll work with you where you are. And we see plenty of both in the Bible. We see plenty of places where there's a bunch of believers working together and plenty of places where there's one person in a mess looking to God. And God's not limited. So verse 26, the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Actually, verse 27. Proverbs 19, 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err, or to make an error, to stray from the words of knowledge. Quit listening to stuff that drags you away from God's word. I mean, we all talk to all kinds of people about all kinds of things. But if something is dragging you away from God's word, quit listening to it. You don't have to listen to that. Just quit listening to it. If you can't get away from it, pray that God will help you get away from it. It doesn't mean that everything that's contrary to God's word you can't listen to, otherwise you'd have to live in a bubble somewhere. But if there's certain things that are dragging you away that you can't deal with, just quit listening to them. And the more you can avoid those things that drag you away from God's word and stay with those things that help you believe God's word, the better off you will be. In Jeremiah 15, another very favorite one. Jeremiah 15. Here we go. In Jeremiah verse chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And as you may know, Jeremiah is a very tough time in the history of Israel. They've been actually a history of Judah, the southern kingdom. Most of the people had been dragged off captive to Babylon, and the small group remaining there were in this city that had been destroyed and was rubble. And I guess they must have found a Bible, because it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He just ate it up. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. God's word was just as joy and rejoicing. That's what he was excited about. He was thrilled because he had God's word. Now, we can sort of take it for granted because we have Bibles and paper. You know, if you're like me, you got one on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer. They're all free. We have them everywhere. You can be in the checkout line at the grocery store and they have them for $4.99. Get them in the dollar store. They're everywhere. And probably 100 other places I haven't thought of. They're everywhere. You can have them in hundreds of languages, all kinds of notes. Everything. But there, they didn't. There were very few copies of the Bible. They were handwritten manuscripts. And because of the city being destroyed, there didn't seem to be any Bibles around, but it seems they found one. And when it was finally available, thy words were found, verse 16, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, I haven't been deprived of Bibles like these guys were, but I know when I get up in the morning, get a cup of coffee, and read the Word and pray, it's just, in many ways, the most thrilling part of my day. It's just fun. It's exciting. I used to get these one-year Bibles I would read every day. Now, I've got an app. Same thing. You know, they're great. I like it because you got a couple chapters of the Old Testament, a chapter of the New Testament, half a psalm, and two verses from Proverbs. And throughout the year, you go through the whole Bible, and different years, I read different translations. And for me, it just works great. Other people like to play an audio teaching while they're getting dressed or driving. That's great. I mean, whatever keeps your head in the Word. But for me, it's just exciting. It's thrilling. It's like, wow, that's in the Bible. I forgot about that, or I missed that, or yeah, God will take care of me. And for me, it just is great. And so I just encourage you to find whatever it is that really works for you to have you excited about God's Word. For me, it's now my one-year Bible app on my Android. For you, it might be something else. But find a way to get so excited about God's Word. Remember what it says in Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But go the next step, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just get excited about the things of God and pray that he'll just fill those innermost needs and desires you have, which is giving you the desires of your heart. And God can do that. Because a lot of times we don't even know what we want. We just know we got this sort of void in our hearts. And how do I fill that? I don't know. Well, God does. He knows what will fill what you need, and he will provide it. So, thy words were found and I did eat them. Now, Jeremiah 36 is a great record here. I think this is the one about that king that didn't like what came from the prophet, so he carved it up with his knife. Of course, these days, if you took your Bible and threw it in the furnace, it wouldn't stop because there's others But back then, there was one copy. There was one letter the prophet wrote out, written to the king. This part of the Word of God existed in one copy. So the king figured if he threw it in the fire, it's gone. Well, it was still in the mind of God. And there were still people with the Spirit of God. God could go to and say, sort of like you got something on your hard drive and I print it out and you don't like it and you stick it in the shredder. It's still on my hard drive. I can hit print again. And that's just my computer. The computer might crash and be gone. But God doesn't crash. He doesn't have those computer errors. So God was still in the mind of God. And all God had to do was tell the prophet and read. Right out again. So we'll take a quick look through this. May not read the whole chapter, but let's start. Jeremiah 36. Came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah spoke it out loud, Baruch wrote it down. It was before they had all these digital recorders we have. But it worked. It got the job done. It was the technology they had. It was a parchment and a pen, and it worked. So he wrote it. And Jeremiah commanded, verse 5, Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication, their request, before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, the entry of the new gate. And you can go out and read it all. They bring the king in. The king was so impressed, he carved it up with his penknife and threw it in the fire. And it says, verse 23, it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife, cast it in the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They just had such disregard for God and his word, they didn't care. They just decided it's a bunch of baloney, and they threw it in the fire. Nevertheless, verse 26, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he wouldn't listen. So three of the guys said, I don't think you really ought to throw that in the fire. It's a bad idea, but king ignored them. But the king commanded, verse 26, Jeremiel, son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Ezreel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. So you see, the king realized that this scroll saying bad things about him and his kingdom and all the evil that would come upon them, he realized it came from Baruch and Jeremiah. So he tried to have them arrested, but the Lord hid them. And when God hides somebody, you can't find them. So again, you can get all worried about the king and this and that, or you can just pray that God will protect you. And they did. Then the word of the Lord, verse 27, came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And then go back to verse 32. then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. There were added beside unto them many like words. So a new scroll came out that had everything in the first one, plus an addendum. More. He added stuff to it. So, it's just an indication of how persistent God is with his word and how God's word is bigger than men. The king tried to destroy the word of the Lord. He tried to capture the prophet and the scribe who were presenting the word of the Lord, and he couldn't do either. God just had them write a new scroll, and God protected Jeremiah and Baruch. Let's go to Amos chapter 11. Amos chapter 11. Let me see. Yes. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. So between Joel and Obadiah, there we go. If you had my exact printing of the Bible, it'd be on page 757, but I doubt you do. Okay, chapter 8, Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine or bread, of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. He said, you guys are so goofed up, I'm going to withhold God's word from you for a while. See if you get thirsty for it. Verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. You don't see this thing very often, but there are times in God's word where people get so far away from God's word, God just says, you don't deserve it. And he holds it back. It's never forever. But those things happen from time to time. Verse 13, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. And that was a golden calf they worshipped in Dan. The manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. So their thirst was not for water, it was for hearing the word of the Lord. So that puts you in a bad situation. You wouldn't want to be in that place where God withheld his word. And you don't see that very often, just like you don't see things very often where people are so goofed up, God can't help them. But there are times in the word where people are so goofed up and have gone so far away from God's word, God just says, that's it. You can remember how I got tired of the children of Israel whining in the desert? Family said, okay, you want to die in the desert? Go ahead. But it was only after repeatedly trying to help them and them just not listening, he just gave up. Because by their freedom of will, they wanted to die in the wilderness. Because there are other times, like, what was it, Ahab got sick and was about to die, one of the most evil kings in the world, and he turned his heart to God. And God extended his life. You understand it with Hezekiah, because Hezekiah was a wonderful believer who was going to die, and God extended his life 15 years. But Ahab, this evil, nasty king, who made a lot of trouble for God's people, God extended his life. Or Paul. Paul was wandering around causing trouble. And God called him, and not only forgave him, but gave him perhaps the greatest ministry since the ministry of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. So God is very, very forgiving whenever he can, but sometimes people are so determined to not believe him, he can't do anything. And that seemed to happen here. So there was this great thirst for hearing the word of the Lord. And so they didn't rejoice in understanding God's word. They went all over the land looking for it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And who knows how long he kept the famine of the word there. It could have been turned later. I don't know. Matthew 4 verse 1. Now here's where God's word is a weapon that Jesus Christ uses to fight the devil. And I know a lot of people like to talk about the devil, like to get scared about the devil. There are whole Christian groups that spend all their time talking about how powerful the devil is and how evil he is and trying to scare everybody. I don't. I acknowledge the power of the devil. I occasionally study it and occasionally talk about it. But all our emphasis is on the delivering power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And see what Jesus Christ did when He was attacked by the devil. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, which is probably an understatement. And a lot of times 40 minutes go by. We're having a hard time. Can you imagine 40 hours with no food? That would be tough. But this was 40 days. So, verse 3, and when the tempter, the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Come on, show me what you got. You're the Son of Man, Son of God, go ahead. Turn these stones into bread. Verse 4, but he, Jesus Christ, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he didn't fight, he didn't argue. He didn't get scared. He just quoted the scriptures. What a great precedent to have in life. Have the word of God so built into your heart and mind that you, when you run across a challenge, you just quote a scripture. Whether you say it out loud, whether you email it or text it to somebody, or whether you just say it to yourself to remind yourself to believe God's word. What a powerful weapon. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now the devil turns around and quotes the scripture. He says, okay, you're going to quote the Bible? I will too. But of course, what he quotes is not very appropriate. So verse 6, the devil quotes, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. But that verse is not talking about tempting God and jumping off the temple. It's if you did fall, God would be there to protect you. So Jesus said unto him, verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt or test the Lord thy God. Then verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me, which is all he really wanted. He wanted Jesus Christ and the whole world to worship him instead of God. Verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil, what? Leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Reminds me in Peter where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. But how did he resist him? He quoted the word. Right. And the way you resist the devil in your life is focus on God's deliverance, God's victory. Basically put the word in your head. If you're looking at what the devil does and the circumstances, it can be scary. But if in your mind you're thinking, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have complete victory over the devil through the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's how you resist the devil. Jesus Christ did it by simply quoting the word. So the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So God's word is a great weapon. Another reason why we rejoice in it. We have that weapon. We have that weapon. And one thing you know if you've worked around the military, which, Brian, you have firsthand, and I have remotely through the engineering support I've worked on through the years, is you find out that if you want to win a battle, it really helps if you have the best equipment, the best munitions, and a lot of it. It is important to have valiant, smart fighters with good strategy. It's very important. But you can be valiant and smart as you want. If the other side has twice as good of weapons and three times as much ammunition, it's very hard to win. Right. But if you have valiant fighters and smart strategy and the best weapons and a lot of ammunition, you're probably going to win. Well, we happen to have all of the above simply by putting the Word of God on in our hearts. It is great stuff. Great stuff. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, verse 3, But he, Jesus, said unto them, Have you not read? And now he begins to talk about the Bible. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't fight. He just says, Didn't you read what it says in the Bible? I got to remember, that's a great thing. Have you not read? The next time somebody bugs me about something unbiblical, have you not read? I like that. I got to remember that. Have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? And then he goes on to read, talk some more. But the point is, it was, have you not read? He just quoted the scriptures. He didn't fight or argue. And the more we can have our brains wrapped around having God's word in our hearts and minds, the more we can rejoice at it. Let's do a quick little summary about what we did today. Psalm 107, God's word brings healing and deliverance. God's word brings light when there was only darkness. Psalm 119, I rejoice at thy word. Proverbs, My son, if thou receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, it'll be like hid treasures. Proverbs 3, it's more precious than rubies. Proverbs 19, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Quit listening to stuff that drags you away from God's word. Jeremiah 15, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I just ate them up. Jeremiah 36, God's word is bigger than men, even though the king burned up the scroll, it didn't stop God's word. In Amos 8, there was a time where things were so bad, they didn't have God's word, and there was a tremendous thirst for it. And how great it is that we have it available. Matthew 4, we saw that God's word is the most powerful weapon there is. It scared away the devil. There are a lot of other ways you're going to scare away the devil. But God's word is what Jesus Christ used to scare him away. And then when the Pharisees were bothering Jesus Christ about his disciples eating corn, he just said, haven't you read? And he pointed out some very good biblical records where the priests and others and David didn't follow the Sabbath laws and they were blameless because they had a greater need. So we have the joy of knowing God's word, of being able to rejoice in it, rejoice in understanding it, rejoice that we can live it. And let's just continue to keep that word on our hearts and minds because it's the greatest thing that will bless us. My opinions and views and ideas may or may not be of any good help to you. I don't know. But I know that God's word is the thing we all need. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints who love you so much. May you bless them abundantly. May we have a wonderful, wonderful week filled with trusting you, believing you, seeing your power alive in our hearts and minds every day. Thank you for the joy of being born again, having your gift of Holy Spirit, having such an abundance of your word. And if your son tarries, may we continue to have many wonderful times of fellowship like this where we can rejoice in your truth, share it with one another, pray for one another, and just help one another live your word and walk on it every day. Thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Love you.